Welcome to the Spinful Theory Podcast with your hosts, Taylor B. and the Bagels.
Hello!
Hello. this week's recording, just because we were really flowing, is going to be kind of like out of format. So, we were talking about something that had kind of come up based on recent events, which was this lore card from a couple years ago called Unsecured Outcry. And it got us talking about the lines and language of this card, specifically focusing around an execute decision point and activation of Loki Crown. And we're basically trying to figure out, like, if the popular theory that we talk about in our previous episode about Rasputin is, you know, if that's still to be believed, and that was based in 2015, so like 3 years before this card we're talking about, like, more heavily is released. If everything that card says is true, and in this card, there's certain things that are different, certain parameters that change, and Loki Crown is activated, what happened if basically Rasputin didn't? If Rasputin did nothing, what's happening in this card is the crux of this conversation, and it'll become clear as after the sort of text gets the conversation gets rolling, like sort of where we're at in the conversation. So I apologize for any sort of
non sequitur.
Yeah, and confusion there. I started recording thinking this would be something we touched upon before we actually started talking about the topic, and then it just became a lot of fun and organic. Please enjoy this. Know that it's a little different. We're not going to be giving a score to this week, though, like, honestly, it's 57. I'm not giving any context to that, just for both of us know that it's 57. Whatever we believe after you listen to this. But yeah, please enjoy. This was a lot of fun to record. So yeah, please enjoy.
Refers to, but I know it ties into like
the midnight exit.
I know it ties into that exactly. I don't recall the specific terms around that.
So,
but what he's saying there is that there has to be an absolute, almost an absolute certainty that he can see that a civilization kill event is active. And then he would execute decision point, which is what's happening there.
But, so I reference Ghost Fragment Darkness. This is Sky Shock Alert. Activate Veluspa. Activate Yuga. Cauterize public sources to secure ISIS. This is aforementioned security state Egyptian. I'm invoking Kerhe White.
Okay, so that's in reference to the first collapse.
No, but I'm saying, like, so these aren't the first one, like, so Rasputin 5, I'm willing to say, is an insertion of code, but this code has review and it has executables. Like, executables aren't present in any, like, the execute command isn't present in any other of those cards. In Rasputin 5, it says standby for decision point. In Unsecured Outcry, it says execute decision point.
I'm still gonna struggle with getting past the if then statement, though.
Okay, but it's delivering the criteria. So, like, this is a command line. He's running an executable, and the executable is only run if this criteria is met. So he has to, once he runs this, there is a, in my view, so just like I'm making sense, and maybe, like, sorry, I'm not so much trying to argue, but, like, further explain what I'm trying to say. If that makes sense. So, like, sorry. But, like, as I read this, he is starting the command line for activating Loki Crown. And so, as we learn in Rasputin 5, these criteria have to be met. He can't, like, prerequisite as he goes along activate the criteria. For him to run the executable, he has to, like, assess the criteria immediately then. Because he's an AI, he's not a person.
Why can't this just be a script that he has that is basically just running and just having in the background? That
because
if it hits a certain subset of if statements, it's going to hit. Then it would hit execute decision point.
Because
I don't understand why can't this be something preloaded, and it has to be that if he's got this loaded up, that it has to. Basically, it has to hit the execute decision point. In any if statement I've ever built, I pre-program a set of if statements, and then it gets to a point where it executes a command if those if qualifiers are qualified.
So, it's not so much that we're running... So what I'm going off of is more how execute is used within the lore. So previously, where Rasputin has used execute is in the sleeper simulant, where he executes emergency sky shock diagnostic and executes short hold for partial shutdown and reactivation. And this is post-collapse, right? We know that he did this based on how that expansion played out.
Operate mission exigent is not yet complete. Standby for Galatia reflexive to generate new function. Galatia requires suspension of midnight exigent. Alert, alert, alert. Event ranks is Skyshock inside context. Midnight Exigent must remain active under deniable authorization. Execute emergency Skyshock diagnostic. Standby. This is internal assets investigation. I mean, yeah, but there's no... This entirely reads as a log of what happened.
So if that's a log, why isn't this one?
Because it reads more like a program of something that he would...
But
he would run.
But the previous example of the program doesn't use that term. And this one, this running of the program, has AI review. Unlike the previous one.
What I would argue is that he realizes that human review is not going to happen at this point anymore, and so he is solely subjective to his own review.
If he's subjective to his own review, then why even run the fucking script? He can just do what he wants.
Because he's a computer.
No,
that's how he thinks.
No, but I'm saying he's either like adherent to his core programming or he's not. You can't really have it both ways. You can't say like he's adherent to his programming and that he's running the script, but he can ignore what this script was written for.
But what I'm arguing is that the if statement qualifiers aren't being hit. This is happening post collapse. This whole
based
program is written for post. Based on compiling latest Theta intelligence.
But it's Warwatch assets. Warwatch. Why couldn't this be in the middle of the first collapse?
I mean,
because
their assets for Warwatch. That doesn't mean that they weren't created for whenever.
But here's my point in this. If this is post-collapse, like, I'm asking... I'm especially curious as when this was released, because this was released Season of the Forge. So we'd only had the cursory, like, Mars Rasputin stuff released at that point. The first Mars DLC. Just for, like, context, so we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Cancel Counterforce objectives. Counterforce objectives can't be in relation to the Traveler if Loki Crown is active. Because you're not countering any force. But if we consider that Rasputin also actively did use countermeasures against the darkness in the first collapse, which I'm pretty sure is documented. I can try to pull something more specific if you like, but I'm pretty sure like we're on the same page there. That would be what the counterforce measures are against, is the invasion of the darkness, it, in the previous Rasputin entries that the, again, like the why Rasputin couldn't shoot the Traveler, like, references so heavily. And so my only point here is, I don't think he would be able to, if he adheres to his base programming, as I think we're all kind of suggesting he does, at least in behavior, whether or not he adheres to the intended end results, like that can be a little separate conversation. But when he counters counterforce objectives, I think that's the only way he could ever have like gone to in sleep mode. Is because he deferred the civilization kill event to the Traveler because he coerced a defensive response from it. Otherwise, he has ultimate responsibility for mankind. And now, if we want to say at this point, if all those things were true, Rasputin isn't necessarily on anyone's side but himself, I'd say maybe you have a point, but that's only because he met these objectives.
Okay, so here's a point that I'm pretty firm on. In Rasputin 5, Rasputin refers to the Traveler as O.
Mm-hmm.
In Unsecured Outcry, he refers to the Traveler as Theta, meaning the process of the Traveler being damaged already. So basically, he's indicating that the Traveler is not whole like it was prior to the first collapse.
Where do you see Theta?
Theta, sorry, being the symbol compiling latest Theta intelligence on Unsecured Outcry.
I've been using a zero for that. So if Traveler, let's say, just so we're not confused and I can feel dumb later. if Traveler is inactive and unrecoverable, is that what you're referring to under Carhey White?
Yep.
So again, when does this card take place? Because this was released after the Traveler was awoken. And the Traveler is currently awoken, so in what future tense would this be invoked?
If the Traveler is unresponsive. if the Traveler is inactive and unrecoverable. So if he can, essentially, if it runs away, or if it's unresponsive for whatever means, that's when that if statement would be qualified.
So if it runs away, how does this not refer to the first collapse? And I only ask this because demonstrably, I think we can all agree, every other civilization it ever uplifted, it ran away from. And I would only add to this that even the speakers have a tenet that the Traveler will leave, which they withheld from everyone. And then, like, the only person I can actually think to quote that said the Traveler chose humanity to stay with is the speaker, the most recent speaker, who couldn't even, like, who was never even spoken to from the Traveler.
We know Rasputin thinks about essentially all potentialities. He tries to anticipate every possible thing that he can. That's his whole job. So why wouldn't he think about the Traveler leaving post-first collapse? Why wouldn't he think about the Traveler being deactivated? That is what I think the source of that if statement right there is. He is trying to anticipate the Traveler not being able to assist in any means possible.
So I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, sorry.
No, that's basically my thought process.
So I just want to clarify something. Are you suggesting this is a new set of criteria or an updated set of criteria from Rasputin 5?
More or less, yeah. I mean, it's an updated set of criteria that has come about post. I don't know when, if this came out in Season Forge, it could have been from that timestamp. I don't know when Rasputin came up with this precisely. But I have to imagine it was post whenever the Traveler was damaged initially.
Okay, but like, so, you know, like, not, things I've already mentioned notwithstanding. If inactive and unrecoverable can also apply to if the Traveler is running away, and inactive could be considered in the defense of humanity, which... As you know, like Rasputin is like an old Sputnik looking, still in my opinion. I don't know. Are you, if you're on the fence on Sputnik, I'm here for that too. But like, feel me, right? Like, if this can apply to that, then I'm just curious as to, like, is there anything else that maybe submits that this is a new, like, what about this says to you post-collapse?
Primarily his reference to the Traveler and how it's changed. The
But if
that
inactive and unrecoverable can apply to it running away, and the traveler's been asleep since the collapse, like this would have to have happened, like even by that logic, like hearing me out here, before the Red War. Because the traveler is like 100% awake now. Everyone agrees on that in game.
Yeah, more or less. What? So, I mean, this could have come about before the Red War. It could have come about after the Red War, in the space that he is thinking about what happens if the Traveler becomes inactive again. He might recognize that it is currently awake and active, but what happens if the Traveler becomes inactive for whatever reason? That is what he is putting this code into place for.
So even if he can write his own code, like again, like this is running it. How can I say this? I'm in total agreement that Rasputin 5 is an insertion of writing or just like maybe review of code in place. Because in that command line, it had no AI review. So this could be like the reference, like get what have me. I'm oversimplifying, but just for sake of brevity.
Okay.
And then I come back to unsecured outcry, and the changing from subtle to war watch also like gives me pause, 'cause like I would also be intrigued to know. Well, I guess maybe that's me just being pedantic, but it's like War Watch after you like took yourself actively out of the war, and for whatever reason, the darkness also left from the initial collapse, and now you're back on War Watch all of a sudden, even though you've woken up before and you've actively done things to suppress Guardians. For, you know, that whole story and reasoning behind, I think, given a reason thing like notwithstanding, so like not to be pedantic, but like where I'm going with this is just kind of like, yeah, like Broham, he executed the decision point when he like arguably had review of this criteria, like of this set of code. And I only offer that, like, yeah, like I know in real life what you mentioned about like you can run the code like if this, if this, then execute this, right? I'm 100% here on the same page with you there, but like this isn't real world code, and I'm looking at the previous instance of this code, and it doesn't have the word execute.
I think it's just a terminology difference. I don't think there's really anything to read past
I think
that.
it's okay, like, all right, so like hear me out here. In general things, like I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I wouldn't do this with real life facts, like nitpick this way. Like I'm not gonna like tell you, I'm not gonna use this type of logic on like the moon landing. We fucking landed on the moon. We're in space. So I just want to put that, I just want to put that out there. But like, this is specifically different for a reason, because this is a narrative choice that they made.
Or
Someone edited this with a Bible that they had reference to for as the greater plan of the story.
they put a coder on it that's used to a certain language that was different than the first person that wrote the Taken King version.
Again, the editors, they still get to edit this. I guess there's a potential that it's a great oversight, but I think there's a much greater potential for this to be on purpose.
Okay, so what's the difference between execute and activate?
Well, no. So it's not execute and activate, it's execute and standby.
No, it's execute and activate.
No, because activate Loki Crown is present in both. It's the line above. Standby for decision point. Execute decision point.
It is both activate. You're correct there. But regardless, I really just think it's just a terminology difference. You're not gonna basically be able to convince me that this set of if statements is significantly different than Rasputin 5. I just don't see
the if statements. I think are greatly parallel. I wouldn't argue at a difference in the if statements. It's the decision point. Like, in this case, there's actually someone who gets to review the criteria.
In Rasputin 5?
No, in Outcry, the later material. There's AI review in Outcry. There's not in Rasputin 5.
He would be the AI reviewing it.
But that's my point. Like, this, like, in Rasputin 5, there's a strong argument this is golden age, like, code for whatever, right? For mm-hmm. whatever defense mechanism. My argument is an Outcry. This is that code being run with Rasputin because there's AI review, and I don't know what other AI that would be reviewing, to your point.
All right, compiling latest Theta intelligence, insufficient justification to pursue present action. Even the headline right there just...
It's not a headline, it's the first line. It's not the title of this card. The title of the card is Unsecured Outcry.
At the very least, it's a subtitle. It's not part of...
It's the first line.
It doesn't read as part of the code, though. If it was part of the code, it would have some sort of...
We can pull this up in game and see how it's presented there, because that could be a site format thing. I'll do that. That's fine. I have my PlayStation right here.
Okay.
And I swear I'll be honest. But if it's still like a first line format thing for all cards, I'm going to call that out too, because I love you and I want to be honest.
Yeah, establishes Kari White, which is still active from first collapse.
Right.
Understandable. The second statement, maybe you can make an argument that the Traveler is inactive in Rasputin's mind. Sure. I'm struggling to find that all of these criteria have been met.
So, yeah, it's hard to say. That first line is the flavor text if you don't show lore in the ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reads like a headline or a subtitle to me.
Yeah, well, it's hard for me to say, because I know... Look at some other exotics here, just so I can find, like, a more proper example to actually bring up. Thinking in line with...
Here's a great example of a recent Rasputin code post from the Wire book. It goes through the if statements, and then Let's see. And then at the bottom, it reads a log of his attempts to recover Rasputin.
Wait, what? Rasputin's attempts to recover Rasputin?
It's, Fellwinter. Excuse me. Sorry. They're one and the same, right?
Is it, though? I will say, I'm looking through the different Rasputin-centric ones, just for brevity. And I'm not seeing, with other lore entries that they have, the flavor text is usually mentioned within the body of the entry. And so far, like, I'm looking at Sleeper Simulant, I'm looking at a couple others, Rasputins are not present in the body. And his also, unlike the others, don't have quotes around them. So like Sleeper Simulant being like a good example of just from like the headline conversation. Sorry, mm-hmm. not to what you immediately just told me. Sorry. Yep.
That's fine. Subroutine Aikilos : status equals complete. Midnight Exigent : status equals still in progress.
Right, yeah, so that doesn't appear in the body of that text.
Correct.
And then same with even in D1. The flavor text, Whisper Neutrino Needle, numbers and letters, secret, Hadal, abhor, AI, Rasputin, asset, settle, imperative, contingent, action order, that doesn't appear in the body of the text either.
Right.
So even back in D1, like I'm only submitting, maybe these are different, because they also don't have quotes around them.
So I just picked random other items. Zavala's Authority. When it moves, it's a ribbon of violet moonlight. That's a subtitle.
Where's
under
Zavala's
that card.
Authority?
I'm just picking a random card about an item. That's basically what my thought process here is. Most cards have, or most items have, a subtitle when there's lore associated with them. Basically, summing up or giving some sort of feeling about what the card is about.
So, hold on. What? I just want to see something actually in game. Okay. Yeah, like, interesting, but again, like,
it doesn't really prove anything. I just think it's.
I guess that doesn't appear in the body of the text either. It's also not in quotes.
Yeah.
So to me, that would be like a separate addition to the thing. But also, in the case of these Rasputin things, like they're kind of written in that like Cody language.
Yeah, I mean, it's meant to kind of
set
model his thought process, or yeah, that's kind of the feeling I get from it. I think this, the overarching evidence speaks to this is a script that he has prepared for if the conditions are met of the if statements to enact.
So when did he write that then? And why would they release it after the Traveler's awake?
For if the Traveler goes to sleep again, or something like that.
Why would he go to sleep again?
Well, asleep or is unable to react or just damaged in some way otherwise, that Rasputin thinks he might either run away or something to that effect. Basically,
so I offer this. Hear me out. Rasputin is currently shut down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I guess we know from the most recent stuff that, like, they tried to shut him down, but, like, he was too slippery. And he's, like, in the process of trying to come back online, right?
Okay. I honestly haven't read the newest lore book yet, because I'm not
sure. Oh, no. It's not the newest lore book. I'm sorry. It's, I'm still in the process of getting the calcified fragments.
I haven't.
This is for the step before that when you do stuff for Anna Bray. So sorry if I spoiled that for you.
Maybe. I haven't even logged in this week, so.
Yeah, dude. All right. Super might be there. Basically, you go, if you look at the map, you'll see where the pyramid ships are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like you can, the current, like the new stuff is like you do stuff like a weekly for each of that. And I won't spoil the narrative points for you, but like you do like a weekly for each of the people at that, at those locations.
Yep.
And like, sorry for spoiling Anna already, but like that's something she notes in hers. It's that like, she's talking about how like, oh, they tried to get him, but he was too slippery. And like, he's kind of in the process of trying to like reboot, essentially.
Just sure.
For sake of brevity.
I suspected as much, I guess. I didn't think Rasputin was dead.
So, given that this was 2 years ago, right? The outcry was 2 years ago, back in Season of the Forge.
Yeah.
If this wasn't the event, when the darkness is coming in the system again, and he deploys defenses against the darkness a second time, if that wasn't the criteria to potentially coerce, and again, like, this is why I say it doesn't necessarily have to mean like Rasputin shot the Traveler, although I like the simplicity of that statement, especially the reference to Rasputin himself, but like, it's to coerce a defensive response. Mm-hmm. And defer the civilization kill event.
Mm-hmm.
So if the darkness coming in again, super heavy with the Doritos, with the black Doritos, extra spicy ghost chilies, then what does?
So
how would this not have been run?
So the very first statement, we've already established the Traveler is active. So if Theta is inactive, that first part of the statement is false. So he's not going to run the rest of the script.
Hold on, though. Can we have it both ways? Inactive can also mean inactive in the fight, because that would have applied to the first collapse.
Okay. Let's say that's the case. Then let's go down the list. If the rank is Sky Shock outside context, and context is Kronos. Probably, I'll just give that one to you for free. I'm not quite sure about Vlups either. I need to brush up on.
Well, just for sake of argument and to sort of like smooth it over for like ease of talking about it, at very least in the previous collapse when we were in the Golden Age, at the start of it, these things were met, and just sort of like to a larger point, like we don't even control all of Earth right now, so mm-hmm. I would be willing to bet in a post first collapse where we're not even whole, these same things could be met. So the only different one though that I want to bring to your attention, because I don't know which way this really goes, is Yuga is active. We know that from before, but it's in Eclipse. Eclipse as a term isn't used anywhere else. It's always been Sundown. I searched it before I said that.
So, Yuga, like I previously established, is a reference to essentially the apocalypse. And the eclipse is the very end of that apocalypse.
Well, but everywhere else, it's Yuga is in Sundown, which to your point would be like, that's the end of the day, right?
Doesn't mean it's the end, though. It means that would be the approaching end, but it isn't at Eclipse.
Well, like, Eclipse is...
It's a metaphor in some
ways. Well, that's kind of what I'm going for. So when the reason I brought that up is, like, this is interesting, and it doesn't even necessarily, like, help... my questioning. So hear me out here. Like, eclipse is a celestial event. That's not a part of the day. If Yuga, as previously referenced, being in Sundown, like sort of like, so like the sun setting,
mm-hmm.
this would be an object blocking the sun, right? Like, it's like, I, I'm trying to like think within the metaphor that you're talking about. Like, hear me out right here. But like, to me, that's like, that's different. And again, like, I don't know if this necessarily helps, like, what I'm sort of like questioning here, but like, that to me, that's like different, right? Like, that's like you have like a celestial event.
I would argue that an eclipse is more more prohibitive than a sundown event would be, in the fact that an eclipse is significantly rarer than the sun going down.
What if it's a lunar eclipse?
Sundown would still be significantly more common than a lunar eclipse?
Well, this would be the sun getting in the way of the moon, though, right? And appearing brighter.
Okay. I'm not quite sure where you're going with it, though.
I mean, it's just sort of like it's the opposite of what. So, like, if it's a solar eclipse, right, it's the moon blocking the sun. So there could be a metaphor for the darkness invading in either event, right? But if the apocalypse is an eclipse, maybe the light's getting in the way of the... Because right now, so far, like, the moon's been a pretty heavy metaphor in Destiny as, like, a great seat of darkness through, like, the Hive and now the darkness itself.
Okay. Yeah, I won't argue that.
And so now if the sun, or the metaphor for the light, is getting in the way of the moon and brightening the night, I think that would be an argument for this happening post the original collapse. So, like, just trying to throw that out there is why I wanted to bring it up, for you here. But, like, again, like, it could also go the other way. It could be you get an eclipse where now the sun is being totally eclipsed by the darkness, using the moon as a metaphor, because we also know that in the Golden Age, they discovered some rank shit on the moon that Rasputin was aware of, be it worms in the depths or the actual piece of darkness. So just adding that both ways, but I just wanted to point out, to be fair, like that's a completely new term in this code.
I agree. It is a different term, and I tend to think it's just a more prohibitive term. Like, if you compare the two in the context of Yuga, it seems just like sundown is a more is the less prohibitive term in allowing Rasputin to enact that if statement than eclipse. That just seems like the context to me. I get what you're trying to say in that if it's it could be a lunar eclipse, and it could be just like the literally the darkness showing up, essentially.
Yeah, like the metaphor can go both ways.
But yeah. I think in the context it makes more sense that the comparison between sundown and eclipse is that eclipse is a more prohibitive term, it's less common.
So eclipse is worse.
Yes.
Alright, again, everything that I just said, like, still on the table for offering it both ways. Wouldn't you say that agree? Would you agree that that's more for the first collapse?
That the first collapse was worse? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, like the eclipse status and what we have to lose in that time before the Traveler is damaged, regardless of how you think it happens, right? Before the Traveler's damaged, when there's a suspicion and a chance, even like from, you know, like third party calculably, right? Like they don't know that the Traveler's done this to previous civilizations yet. Or maybe they do. Maybe they do toward the end of it when the speaker starts showing up, because the first speaker's still in the Golden Age, right? Pre-collapse, if I recall correctly. Anyway. Yeah. I know I forget at which point, but I know that they start withholding that the Traveler's going to leave.
Right.
Is what I'm saying?
I think that the traveler leaving portion being cut out was post collapse, if I remember correctly. I think
I do too, but like just in case.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure on that, but I'd have to go back and double check.
And like, I also don't know how widespread it is in like between like speakers,
right?
Because I know not all like the I don't think the first one even like gets those ideas yet. It's just like holy shit, like
right.
So there's that's something we can look into more. But like I guess I'm just kind of going with like if the speaker knows it and chooses to withhold it, like I'm willing to think this like super AI we built with intelligence gleaned from the Traveler, mm-hmm. based on a pre-Traveler technology that has more simple and absolute base command lines.
Okay.
Because it's built on that technology. It's,
yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like it, and I think they did that for a reason. They chose something that was before the Traveler's influence, so it could be absolute.
That's a fair point. I could certainly agree with that.
I think with all that stated, like coercing a defensive response doesn't mean that it has to shoot it in the back. It could mean it goes to sleep and doesn't allow it to escape. And so it doesn't facilitate its escape, rather. Because, like, in Rasputin 5, like, yeah, it does define that as doing, like, whatever you have to through any means necessary, mm-hmm. including chaotic and naiotic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I'll offer that could include, like, shutting down. And just figuring out, yeah, if I just let him get fucked up, like, he's going to have to do something. If I don't, like, defend him till the end. Blindly. Because I think back to our previous points that, if I recall correctly, we kind of agreed upon, Rasputin has base commands that he can't disobey. And, I mean, even most recently with our conversation with Orchid, like, that's... like, that's why he has to kill Felwinter. Although, like, fun thing in Unsecured Outcry, a couple other terms that have never, that don't appear elsewhere, the Naggle First Step is activated, and so is the Kalki Golem. Now, I realize that this isn't Felwinter, because he's the Siddhartha Golem, but who the fuck is the Kalki Golem? Even if this, even if I'm completely wrong, and this script is just like an if when,
mm-hmm.
who the fuck is Kalki Golem? Because I would totally be here if that was Elsie Bray.
There is a lot of speculation on that.
Commingled with Rasputin in the whole line of my favorite one, and we can explore this, but Clovis Bray. Or Felwinter is Clovis Bray intermingled with Rasputin.
If you want to argue that Elsie is a some sort of, or I guess the Stranger is some sort of Rasputin exo, I can see an argument for it. I'm not convinced that she's the Kalki Golem in particular.
I mean, that'd be cool though. I'm not convinced either, but like, who is the Kalki Golem? And
right.
the other candidate for Golemhood right now is the Stranger. Whether it's proved or not, I'm just saying it's like it's worth talking about.
Thanks. Right. I certainly need to do a little bit more research on the Stranger and on whether or not it's even possible that she's a golem. I know it's a theory that's been thrown out quite a few times, and I'm not quite confident enough to say one way or another how I feel on that yet. But I certainly feel like it would be a cool way to figure out exactly who she is, yeah. if it somehow is how it happened. Regardless, I don't think in particular that she is the Kalki Golem, unless there's some sort of time travel thing going on here where this script does get enacted later down the road, And that releases the Kalki Golem, who happens to be the stranger.
Well, so I do think the stranger had to have originally been activated at very earliest at the collapse. I will offer that. She can't have been activated in the future. It's just because of how her lore works. She wasn't forged in light, which we all know she isn't a guardian, but like, she wasn't forged in light, but she keeps recurring the same, her feet in the same place, and it's at the moment of the, like, the collapse, the beginning of it. Her feet in the same, like, marks in the sand, and she sees the same things play out differently. My point is, that's where her memory begins. That's where that card begins. And she replays that moment. And so I guess, like, there's a possibility she could come from the future and have traveled back to that point, but I think it's a lot more reasonable that she's a Clovis Bray exo, one way or the other, that is using Vex technology to travel back to that point that she experienced the first time.
And like I said before, I don't know one way or the other. The sole reason I brought that up was just because we know that the stranger can time travel. We know that we know quite a bit about that aspect only. We don't know a whole lot about her origins. We just know that she popped in from somewhere.
Right.
Right. Basically.
Probably left the Kvostov for us. Kvostov referencing episode one. One? Or was that two?
I think
was, early episodes.
I think that was one. Yeah.
Well, brother, this was fun. All right. So, Bagels, you got any shout-outs this week?
Yeah. I guess I just want to give a shout-out to I don't know, to everything and anything. I know. I am Miss America today. I just want to give a shout out to Bungie because I really am enjoying this season so far. It's been it's been quite a blast in my opinion. I love the Contact public event. It's one of my favorites that they've put together so far. And on top of that, the Umber Engrams, it really brings back memories of the Season of Opulence, where basically you can run Menagerie. But instead of that, you get a shit ton of just engrams showering you from whatever the hell you want to do. I love it. It's fantastic. Loot like this is, if they're going to do sunsetting, this is how you basically work around sunsetting. You shower us in loot so we get whatever we want to for a limited amount of time if we play. Just a little bit, basically. So that's like my shout out. Yep.
I was going to say, like when they sold Gjallarhorn the second time.
Yeah, basically everybody gets it, so it's not some rare prize that only the elite of the elite have, or the luckiest of the luckiest, basically, in the case of Gjallarhorn. But
right.
But yeah, I personally think that a shout-out is deserved by Bungie for how they're handling this season's loot and just gameplay mechanics and the story, because the lore is pretty cool so far, even though I need to do a little bit more research on it, because it's well worth it.
Yep. I just to sort of second that, I really dig in-game and out-of-game what Bungie's been doing recently, right? I've dug the BLM pin, I've dug the reissuing of the Pride pin, I've dug what they're doing right now with the iPads for kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all cool that they're doing so many charitable and socially responsible things at once. Because some of these have been on the fly. Like, nobody's perfect, but they're trying.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I can't argue with that. Yeah.
Yeah, like, bonus points to them. I want to give a shout-out to the Greater Lore Network. Please check out thelorenetwork.com. They just as of this recording, this is on the 8th, they just released a weekly lore review for all our partners and members and brother and sister podcasts. And like they highlight stuff each week. They give you like a rundown of what to check out and what's gone over. And if you're a fan of us and you're like, you know what, guys, like Bagels, Taylor B, like, love you guys. You guys are great. I need more. The Lore Network is full of people that influence us. So if you like us, you're going to love them. So please, 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 please give them,
There's a lot of really good folks out there.
Just
putting
out
good content out there.
And a number of them have been on our show. We've been lucky enough to be on some of their shows. It's 100% worth your time and attention. If you're picking up what we're putting down, you'll love smelling what they're stepping in. So, and with that, you know, like, that's all I got for this week. I really dig it. I really dig what's going on. And, you know, with that, stay safe, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. That's the end of this week's topic, but be sure to check out our past and future episodes on Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean. If you have any questions about this week's topic, want to discuss Destiny lore with us, or if you just feel like reaching out to us, you can find us on Twitter at SpinfoilTheory, or you can email us via SpinfoilTheory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening!
Do-do-do, white loading screen. Do-do-do, you know what I mean?